Researchers from New York City institutions predict that global warming will bring more frequent heat waves by the year 2050. That, in turn, will increase air conditioning use and stress our power grid. In the second story in our series, NYC 2050, WNYC's Dan Tucker reports on what New York needs to do to prevent blackouts as it grapples with climate change.
One Bryant Park is more than 50 stories tall. The Midtown building is topped by a spire and an angular white roof that really does seem to scrape the sky. But to understand what makes this building so special, you need to step inside and go down, way down.
We're on C3. We're about 80 feet below grade. It's the lowest cellar in Midtown.
That's Jordan Barowitz, spokesman for the Durst Organization, the building's developer. One Bryant Park is known for its green technology, and this cellar is where you'll find one of its environmentally friendly features, 44 big silver tanks filled with 600,000 pounds of ice. Mark McCracken is head of CalMac, the company that built these tanks for Durst.
Each tank is about 8 feet diameter, 8 foot high. It's an insulated, completely insulated tank.
And this is an ice storage system. It freezes water at night when there's low demand for electricity, stores the ice in these tanks, then uses all the ice to cool the building the following day.
You're basically separating when you create cooling from when you need the cooling. So they're using off-peak electricity to generate ice, and then the next day they're using that ice to cool the building.
This arrangement saves Durst a lot of money. It also takes stress off the city's power grid by shifting demand for electricity from the afternoon to the middle of the night.
Most places have ignored peak demand, and this ignoring has created the problem with the grid.
What McCracken is getting at is that the city's electric network is most vulnerable when demand is at its highest. Think about a calendar year. People use the most power late in the afternoon on hot summer days, usually in July and August, when temperatures get to 95 or even 100 degrees. Millions of people and businesses blast their air conditioners. That's on top of all the lights, computers, and elevators already sucking power from the grid. Here's Con Ed spokesman Alan Drury.
The cables get hot, so you can get feeder failures, transformer failures, smoke in manholes, even fires in manholes.
That's essentially what happened in Queens in 2006. A blackout caused by equipment failure during a heat wave lasted 9 days.
And our main focus is to make sure that there are no life-threatening situations.
The culprit was a network of aging wires that brought energy to the area. A fire knocked out 5 of them, then more cables failed in a domino effect. 250,000 people were left without AC as temperatures climbed above 90 degrees.
We don't know the full extent of this.
Eric Joya was a city councilman from Astoria when he talked to WNYC that July.
Yesterday, I spoke to a mother who didn't have milk for her baby. I spoke to a woman whose medicine had spoiled and she was a senior citizen. She was worried. This is serious.
Climate change could make this Queens scenario much more common in the future. Right now, we average about 2 heat waves a summer. But climatologists predict New York will likely have 5 to 7 heat waves a year by 2050. As it is, New York City sets a new record for power demand every year or two. These periods of high stress on the electric system only last 30 to 50 hours per year. But Con Edison has to spend enormous amounts of money to prepare for them. One solution is to spread out demand in the same way that ice system at One Bryant Park does. Con Edison's Alan Drury.
We always say that we're a bit unusual as a company in that we actually encourage customers to use less of our product, not more. And in fact, we even pay them to do so.
The utility offers incentives to customers who use less energy at peak times. It wants to avoid more outages, but it also wants to save its own money. If Con Edison doesn't get demand down in parts of Brooklyn and Queens, it could have to spend $1 billion on a new substation. A blackout could also come from afar. That's what happened in 2003 when a malfunction in Ohio knocked out power across the Northeast. I recently went out to Jacob Riis Beach in Queens to get a glimpse of how New York can create power closer to home. Kit Kennedy is with the Natural Resources Defense Council. She says New York City is a natural place for offshore wind power because we're right by the coast. The city, state, and utilities, including Con Edison, want to build 100 wind turbines out in the water.
These turbines, including the blades, can be 400 feet high or higher.
Kennedy says the turbines would be so far away, they wouldn't ruin the view for people on the beach.
You'll see a few wisps on a clear day, 17 miles away, barely distinguishable, and those will be the wind turbines.
It's a new idea, so one hurdle to overcome is public sentiment. Rana Devanzo and Barbara Dropp happened to be at the beach that day.
Cold, cold, cold. No wind turbines. I don't like it, and I don't believe in it.
Look of the wind turbines wouldn't bother me, but definitely the sea life would have, I think it would have an effect on them, and I wouldn't like that.
The U.S. Department of Energy estimates the nation could get 20% of its electricity from wind by the year 2030. Given New York City is on the water, the number here could be even higher. The federal government will need to approve the wind turbines off of the Rockaways. If it does, the project could break ground, or actually water, by 2017. For WNYC, I'm Dan Tucker.
Our NYC 2050 reporting is a partnership with NBC4 New York. Tomorrow, hear about how rising energy demand will tax our electric grid. To tell us how worried you are about climate change and what you're doing about it, if anything, tell us where you stand at WNYC.org.